Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith.
There is now a real debate about whether the time has come to negotiate with the Taliban, in the belief that there can be no military victory against the Taliban.
Journalist and author Graham Usher joins us for the half hour from Islamabad, Pakistan, where he says Pakistanis are worried that the U.S. election season has brought a growing militancy toward Pakistan that could result in regional war. During a press conference July 15th, George Bush admitted that the U.S. is engaged in covert operations, leading to the possibility that he and others in the administration are in the process of disclosing a major increase in the use of American military force in Afghanistan and across the border into Pakistan. Bush promised the U.S. would keep the pressure on al-Qaeda in the region, hit them hard, hurt them in Pakistan and other places.
My view is that the war on terror is being fought out on two simultaneous fronts that are noticeable to the American people and on other fronts that aren't.
After running through a list of what he called his successes, to include getting an Iraq war spending bill through with no strings attached, Bush took a question about the allegations by Afghanistan's Hamid Karzai of Pakistani involvement in the recent deadly embassy bombing in Kabul.
First of all, we'll investigate his charge, and we'll work with his service to get to the bottom of his allegation. No question, however, that some extremists are coming out of parts of Pakistan into Afghanistan, and that's troubling to us, it's troubling to Afghanistan, and it should be troubling to Pakistan. We share a common enemy.
But to Pakistanis, the U.S. seems to be killing only soldiers and civilians, not members of al-Qaeda. 11 Pakistani soldiers were killed in a series of U.S. airstrikes in June, and on July 10th, U.S. jets delivered another round of airstrikes, which reportedly killed 9 security guards and 2 civilians. The U.S. airstrikes have also been cited as a likely reason for recent suicide attacks in Pakistan, now seen as retaliation. Graham Usher is a contributing editor for Middle East Report. He writes for The Nation magazine. His piece, Getting Pakistan Wrong, appears in the July edition of The Nation. Graham Usher is author of Dispatches from Palestine, The Rise and Fall of the Oslo Peace Process. Graham Usher, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
We've seen several stories now about Pakistani soldiers and civilians dying from U.S. missile strikes. Why don't you start by describing the climate there and how Pakistanis view America in light of these actions?
I think, first of all, there is enormous anti-American sentiment in Pakistan, and it goes across the board. It is not just confined to the Islamic parties or the religious parties. It goes across the board, and it's based on opposition to the American NATO presence in Afghanistan. It's based on opposition to the occupation of Iraq. It's based on opposition to America's uncritical support of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territories. On a whole raft of issues, there is opposition to American foreign policy. But I think added to that now, there is a real fear that America may embark on military operations inside Pakistan. Now, there have already been American military operations in Pakistan, but in the past, these were done in coordination with the Pakistani government and regime. They were always unpopular, but at least they were coordinated. What we have seen in the last 3 or 4 months are military actions by the United States that are unilateral. They have not been coordinated with the Pakistani government or with the Pakistani army. They have killed over 50 Pakistani civilians. The Americans would say that they've also killed high-level al-Qaeda targets, and they have called absolute outrage, particularly on June the 11th, when 11 Pakistani soldiers were killed by U.S. special forces on the Pakistan-Afghan border. The Pakistani army, in an unprecedented statement, really, said that that attack was a deliberate act of aggression by the United States against the Pakistani army. Now, given the fact that Pakistan and the United States have been very close allies since 9/11. That is quite a rupture. And I think the fear now in both the Pakistan military circles and in political circles is that as the George Bush presidency comes to an end, There is enormous domestic pressure on him to engage in some kind of adventure in Pakistan, because it's the border areas with Afghanistan that many believe that Osama bin Laden has taken refuge. And I think there is a fear that Bush may send in the Marines, as it were, to try and get hold of bin Laden. Now, if he did that, the impact on the Pakistani government would be absolutely destabilizing. There would be no way that they could prevent a massive backlash against all things American in Pakistan, but also against all government and military targets in Pakistan. So there is real opposition to it, but there is also real fear. I asked a senior Pakistani military official last week how likely he thought it was that America would engage in a major military incursion inside Pakistan before the end of the year, and he said the likelihood was probable. So I think there is a real fear at the moment that the United States is acting unilaterally and basically for domestic purposes in order to rescue Bush's legacy, and without fear of the consequences such an action would have on Pakistan.
And so we see this kind of ramping up toward Afghanistan, and also, despite negotiations, toward Iran. So is this being studied in Pakistan as also part of a regional operation by the Americans?
Yes, very much so. One of the reasons the Americans are unhappy with Pakistan at the moment is that the new Pakistani government has engaged on a series of negotiations or peacemaking with pro-Taliban tribesmen on the border areas with Afghanistan. Now, that has reduced the violence in Pakistan, but it has, according to the Americans, increased the flow of Taliban guerrillas from Pakistan into Afghanistan, and we have seen a major increase in attacks on American forces in Afghanistan, in the number of American casualties in Afghanistan. So I think there is a lot of pressure now becoming entangled with the American presidential campaign that somehow, whereas Iraq was the bad war, at least from the Democrats' point of view, or the view of Barack Obama, Afghanistan in some way is the good war, and that it can still be won. It can still be won by military force. The view in Pakistan is that there is no military solution to Afghanistan. There never has been. And that sooner or later, the United States, NATO, the Karzai government are going to have to sit down and negotiate with the Taliban. There is no other solution to the violence in Afghanistan. But that, at the moment, is a real taboo for the Americans. They believe that with enough military hardware, with enough increase in troops, and with Pakistan Army also fighting on its side of the border, they can defeat the Taliban. They've been trying to do that for the last 7 years, and what we've seen is that the more military force is used against the Taliban, the stronger politically they become. The other dimension you mentioned is the very real fear in Pakistan that America, or through Israel, there is going to be a strike on Iran. Now, there are 25 million Shia in Pakistan. That is the largest number of Shia Muslims in any one country outside of Iran. And the impact of an American or Israeli strike on Iran, on Pakistan, which borders Iran, would be monumental. Following the Iranian Revolution in 1979, there was an ongoing proxy war in Pakistan fought between Iran and Saudi, between the Sunnis and the Shia militants, that left thousands dead. And there is a real fear that if the Americans were to strike Iran, coupled with the occupation of Iraq, coupled with its presence in Afghanistan, this would unleash a major movement against Pakistan's collaboration with the United States. And the Pakistani army and the Pakistani government would be faced with a very clear choice. Either it would have to collaborate with the United States, allow its bases to be used in action against Iran, and face possibly being overthrown by a mass militant movement, or it would have to defy the United States and enter into a confrontation with what has been its strategic ally for the last 60 years, but particularly so since 9/11. So it is caught between a rock and a hard place. Again, a senior politician in Pakistan said to me that the worst case scenario of Pakistan is not actually what happens in Afghanistan or even actually what happens in Pakistan. The worst-case scenario is an American strike on Iran. No government, he thinks, could survive it.
Survive it in the sense that it would cause regional instability?
It would cause massive regional instability. It would trigger repercussions across Afghanistan. It would trigger repercussions across Pakistan. As I said, there are 24 million Shia in Pakistan. Even countries like India that are trying to develop a more pro-American foreign policy and it would not be so impacted by such a strike have said very clearly this is a red light for them. They will not tolerate, they could not tolerate, its people could not tolerate an attack on Iran for pursuing a nuclear program that India has done outside the framework of the NPT, that Pakistan has done outside the framework of NPT, and of course, which Israel has done. And Israel at the moment is so far from being sanctioned by the international community in the United States, is actually granted something like $3 billion a year. So the cry of double standards would be huge. The weight of public sentiment would be massively behind Iran, and that would be massively destabilizing for pro-American regimes, whether it's Pakistan, whether it's the Karzai regime in Afghanistan, or indeed even India.
Now, the Pakistani soldiers killed in U.S. airstrikes in June actually were part of a group being recruited by the U.S. military, right? And we see lots of other indications of U.S. covert operations running at both the Afghan border with Pakistan, where you are, and the Iraq border with Iran. The Mujahideen Khalq has been recruited by the U.S. for work in Iraq near the Iran border. They're listed by the U.S. State Department as a terrorist organization. But as I understand it, in the U.K., they were just delisted by the courts, no longer called a terror group there. What about these scenarios, though, of covert operations at these sensitive borders? Are these part of what is raising fears about regional escalation?
Yes, very much so. First of all, just to answer your first question, the soldiers that were killed were part of what is known in Pakistan as the Frontier Corps, and their job basically is to defend the borders between Pakistan and particularly between Pakistan and Afghanistan. They are recruited locally, that is, they're recruited from the Pashtun tribe, which is the same tribe that provides the fighters for the Taliban. And the Americans have committed in the past to try and train this corps in counterinsurgency operations. But it does seem that there is a lot of disquiet in the American establishment about how loyal the Frontier Corps are. Getting back to your second point, yes, the Mujahideen have now been or are on the point of being delisted by the British as a terrorist organization. And in Pakistan, there is a group called Jandallah, which is based in Pakistan but belongs to the Sunni tribe in eastern Iran on the Pakistani border. They are tribes that have been persecuted and discriminated against by the Iranian regime. But the Jandallah group, there is evidence suggest that they are being sponsored by the United States and they are using havens within Pakistan to go in to Iran and attack Iranian police and Iranian military positions. And there is a fear that they could be used for various dirty tricks, covert operations, if and when there were a military strike on Iran. So there is that fear, but there is also that the use of Jandallah is causing real tensions between the Iranian and Pakistani regimes. Iran has gone on the record warning Pakistan that they must do something against Jandallah, and the Pakistan government in the last 6 months has moved against Jandallah under pressure from Iran. Now, if Jandallah is being sponsored by the United States, that means, again, Pakistan is going to be caught between the geopolitical compulsion of maintaining its relationship with Iran and its strategic compulsion of being in alliance with the United States. So, but yes, there is low-level covert operations, we understand, on both sides of the Iranian border, east and west, using both Kurdish forces and Sunni forces in the case of Jandallah.
Graham Usher, your piece, June 26, 2008, online in the July 14th edition of The Nation magazine. You speak about this General Dan McNeil, a retiring commander of NATO in Afghanistan, and his comments that didn't go over very well in Afghanistan. Why don't you talk about what he said?
Basically, after the killing of the 11 Pakistani soldiers, Dan McNeil was asked for the American response to this, and he said, well, the soldiers were more or less tribals themselves, and that was taken in Pakistan to mean that since they were from the same Pashtun tribe as the Taliban, they would be sympathetic to the Taliban, and in some way, therefore, they would be fair game. I hardly need to add what kind of reaction that had in Pakistan. So although there is a pledge to train these soldiers, I think there is also increasingly amongst American special forces in Afghanistan the belief that you cannot rely on the Pakistani army and that America will have to rely more on itself, and therefore there is, I think, greater pressure now to undertake unilateral actions inside Pakistan without coordination with the Pakistani army.
Has General McNeil developed a reputation in Afghanistan? What is his reputation there?
I think the general view here is that he's hawkish and he's much more, if you like, pro-Bush administration. There are other NATO commanders from the European countries, and I include in that Britain, who have, let us say, a much more nuanced view. For example, within the British military and foreign establishment, there is now a real debate about whether the time has come to negotiate with the Taliban, in the belief that there can be no military victory against the Taliban. That is by no means official policy, but it is a debate. We do not see anything like that kind of debate within the United States. There is no such nuance. The McNeil still seemed to believe that there was a military solution to the Taliban. The Bush administration still does not make any distinction, really, in practice, between the Al-Qaeda, which is a global jihadist movement, and the Taliban, which is a Pashtun ethnic movement very much based in Pakistan and Afghanistan. For Pakistan, these are crucial distinctions. But the United States sees the Taliban and Al-Qaeda as one force that must be destroyed. And as I said earlier, the view in Pakistan is that there can be no military solution to the Taliban. They are an authentic indigenous Pashtun force in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and the Pashtuns represent the largest single ethnic group in Afghanistan. One former foreign minister of Pakistan said to me, there cannot be a solution in Afghanistan without the Pashtuns, and there cannot be a solution with the Pashtuns without the Taliban.
You use the title Getting Pakistan Wrong in your piece in The Nation, saying the U.S. military's tactics of aggressive confrontation with the Taliban and its Al-Qaeda cohorts in Pakistan are only making matters worse. Now, we are seeing a growing militancy toward Afghanistan and Pakistan, the rhetoric heating up. And in fact, I'd like to play a comment made by Republican presidential candidate John McCain about Iran. McCain, of course, singing those now infamous lines, bomb, 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 Iran. But now he's just said this in response to a reporter's question about the increase in trade with Iran under the Bush White House.
The biggest export was cigarettes, given that the supposedly that
maybe that's a way of killing them. I meant that as a joke.
McCain said maybe that's a way of killing them, selling them cigarettes. He was speaking about the Iranian people in this case, though, so clearly a very dark joke. But is this further legitimizing of Iranian targets and also a dehumanizing, which is something that the U.S. military has used as a tactic when selling the Iraq war?
Yes, I think the real fear in Pakistan is that the hope had been that with the twilight of the Bush administration, the fundamental basis of his foreign policy in this part of the world would wither with him. And that cornerstone was, of course, regime change. Preemptive mass American military operations to overthrow a regime such as the Iraqi regime it didn't particularly like, in the hope that its substitute would be more amenable to American foreign policy, more amenable to American and Western energy concerns, and more amenable to Israel. That hope, I think, is now fading as we hear precisely the kind of talk that we're hearing from McCain, that there does seem to be a belief in certain elements of the American establishment and certainly certain elements of the Republican Party that the solution to Iran is regime change. And I think the idea of that is very, very scary in this part of the region. It's even scarier than the realized threat, as it was, of overthrowing Saddam Hussein. And that is because everybody in this part of the world understands, whether they like the Iranian regime or whether they dislike the Iranian regime, everybody understands that it is a legitimate regime. It came and emerged out of a legitimate revolution against a despised dictatorship of the Shah. Therefore, whatever criticism many Iranians have of their regime, there is rock-solid support for its foreign policy, for its nuclear program, and for its standing up against the United States and against Israel. So this is a regime that will fight back, will not be toppled, and can cause enormous damage throughout the region, far more so than even Iraq. You have, as its supporters, the Iraq state now, where religious parties, the Iraqi Shias, have grown more powerful. They would be under enormous pressure to support Iran against any American strike. You have Hezbollah, which is the most powerful military force in Lebanon, and that would use that force to target Israel and American bases if there was a strike on Iran. And you have the Arab and Persian public opinion. There would be mass public sentiment for Iran against any American strike against it. So the fear that certain people believe that whatever problems they have with Iran, regime change could be a solution, I think is very, very scary to people in this part of the world. Here, the whole Iraq adventure has been a disaster. It has destabilized the regions. It has strengthened al-Qaeda. It has basically given a whole new lease of life to radical Islamic extremism. But it would be small fry compared to the repercussions of any attempt to overthrow the Iranian regime.
Iran, of course, is following U.S. politics closely because of the perception that the upcoming election will make a lot of difference in U.S. policy towards Iran. Are Pakistanis following the U.S. election, and is there a lot of speculation there about what an Obama administration might bring?
Certainly the Pakistani political and military classes are firmly tuned in to American politics and particularly the American presidential campaign. And I would say that the bulk of Pakistani liberal opinion is that the next government or the next president in the United States is a Democrat one, and that they have welcomed Barack Obama's statement about having talks with Iran because they believe that Iran is a legitimate regional player. It has legitimate interest in the region, and that if an American administration were to recognize that and accept that, that would go much of the way to diffuse tensions and therefore revive what are at the moment pretty bleak economic scenarios in the region. So I think, generally speaking, the public sentiment is in favor of a democratic victory. Yeah, another 5 years like the last period of American rule, I think most people here in Pakistan, even traditional allies of the United States, such as the Pakistani army, they look at that with foreboding because they do see an increasing unilateralist, adventurous bent to American foreign policy. But Barack Obama still has to be tested. On the one hand, while his statements about negotiating with Iran have been broadly welcomed, his uncritical support so far of Israel, particularly the speech he made to AIPAC, where he declared Jerusalem as the united capital of the Jewish state, that went down enormously badly here because there is the perception and the understanding that if Jerusalem remains the united capital of the Jewish state, then there will never be peace in the region because no Muslims, no Arabs would ever accept it because East Jerusalem is occupied Arab territory. So I think there is still a wait-and-see view. There is also the historical experience that politicians, when they're running for the presidential campaign or running for president, say one thing, and when they're in the Oval Office, they tend to do something else. But broadly speaking, the comments by Barack Obama that he would negotiate with Iran and he would do so unconditionally is welcomed by mainstream liberal Pakistani opinion, and even by religious opinion in Pakistan. Nobody here wants the kind of belligerency, the kind of preemptive policies that have become the hallmark of the Bush administration.
You've written about Musharraf, you've written about the PPP, the Pakistan People's Party. Just end by commenting on the way U.S. politics and the Bush administration's policy changing climates toward the Mideast might affect Pervez Musharraf in his political situation.
Well, I think one of the reasons President Musharraf is so unpopular in Pakistan, and you have to remember that his parties or parties that were allied with him were soundly defeated in the general parliamentary elections in February. One of the reasons for that was his pro-American foreign policy. And one of the real difficulties the current Pakistani government has, which, as you said, is headed by the Pakistan People's Party of the former and assassinated Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, one of the real difficulties it has with Pakistan public opinion is to convince that opinion that its fight against the Taliban is a Pakistani fight. The overwhelming view of many Pakistanis is that this is an American war. And because the Taliban is seen to be opposed to America, because it fights America in Afghanistan, it has enormous legitimacy. And that is very difficult for any Pakistani government to contain. So basically, really, the support of George Bush to Musharraf, the very fulsome support of Bush to Musharraf over the last 5 years, really was the kiss of death for him, because support from Bush is seen reflexively here as somehow anti-Pakistani, anti-Muslim, and anti those forces that are struggling against American hegemony, be it in Iraq, be it in Afghanistan, or indeed be it in Pakistan.
And the fact that Pakistan is a nuclear country, what about that? I mean, Pakistan could, if further destabilized, be the biggest threat to the world from that region. What happens if Musharraf is overthrown or politically unseated? What happens with regard to securing those weapons, and what does that do to regional policies from the West?
Well, I think if Musharraf is removed in a political constitutional way, there would be no destabilizing effect. As I say, Musharraf is pretty unpopular. And while the Pakistani army still backs him, they would not, for example, impose a martial law in order to rescue him. So if the transition was smooth, I don't think there would be any fundamental change in the status or security of Pakistan's nuclear weapons. I think the far greater danger is that if the Pakistani army engages in a war with the Taliban on its borderlands with Afghanistan, and the Pakistan Taliban emerges as victorious, then we could see the breakup of Pakistan. And of course, this has happened before. In 1971, East Pakistan separated from West Pakistan in a civil war and became what is today known as Bangladesh. And there is a fear that the tribal areas, the frontier regions, could fall under the Taliban's complete control. Now, it remains to be seen what kind of impact that would have on Pakistan's nuclear arsenal, but it certainly would raise up tensions in the regions. It would raise up the fear that somehow Pakistan's nuclear weapons could fall into the wrong hands, and that would almost certainly or very likely trigger an American intervention to safeguard the nuclear weapons, or could trigger American intervention. And really, that would be massively destabilizing, because that intervention would be met by full force, not only from the Taliban, but by large sections of the Pakistani public and by large sections of the Pakistani army.
Graham Usher, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We reached journalist and author Graham Usher in Pakistan, where he is a contributing editor for Middle East Report. His report, Pakistan Amidst the Storms, appeared June 27th on merip.org, M-E-R-I-P.org, Middle East Report. He also writes for The Nation magazine, and is author of the 1999 book Dispatches from Palestine, The Rise and Fall of the Oslo Peace Process. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program was produced at the studios of WHUS at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. WHUS.org to listen live Wednesdays at 5 p.m. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions.